Tonight I'd like to invite you over to the New Testament book of Colossians, chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, and we'll look at verse 3. Colossians chapter 1, verse 3 begins this way. It says, "We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before the word of the truth of the gospel." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne. Lord, we thank you for the privilege of gathering together as your people. Lord, we pray and ask for your blessing, the guidance of your Holy Spirit to lead us into your truths, that we might worship you in truth and spirit. Again, Lord, that you might be glorified and our lives blessed. And we'll thank you, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight, the title of the message is The Grace of God in Truth. The Grace of God in Truth. And that's how it enters, really, into the life of every believer. And so we need to be willing to understand what God is, the work that God is wanting to do in the life of the believer. And as you open up the Word of God, you'll find the exciting thing is that God is doing a work in the life of the believer that he might be a testimony and a glory to the name of God. And that's where the difference is made. Listen, that is the problem in our society today, is that the lack of God, we're rooting God out, we're removing him, and mankind is doing that which is right in their own eyes, and it's just almost, amazing, really, in a negative way, how far we're moving away from the Lord as a society, and how we're allowing these ideologies and these I wouldn't even call them philosophies, I'd call them more ideologies in the minds that are in the hearts of people to be divided and destroyed. Listen, when you're pointing out negativity in other people's lives, you will never have harmony. Everybody is flawed, but you've got one group of people trying to think up and point out the flaws in another group of people. That's a mess. The truth of the matter is everybody needs the grace of God. That's the truth of the matter. So don't join in. And by the way, listen, you're not going to convince people unless God is involved. So to enter into that, there are some people that will get mad with you or get all irritated, And things will be a lot worse. You ever try to fix something and it just gets worse? Amen. Well, I'll just fix that. And especially when it comes to relationships, sometimes you want to make sure everything's understood. And sometimes it's just better that you just leave things alone and leave them in the hand of God and call upon the Lord to straighten things out in the hearts and minds of people. But tonight, God's dealing with us as a people, and that work can continue in spite of all the craziness that's going on in our society. There, don't be distracted. Listen, and by the way, that's the way communism works. The communist will cause a division in people and groups of people that they might conquer. They don't even know. I think it was Lenin or Marx called them the useful idiots. They're the ones that followed what they were teaching. They were used to bring the division. And then once the communism takes over, nobody wins. Nobody wins. And so, and by the way, listen, we need to be mindful that God is doing and wanting to do a work in your life and mine. But if we're distracted about what's happening in society, here's what we'll do. We will fret as God's people. We'll start looking more to the problem, like Peter did when he was walking on the water, instead of our Savior, and we'll get caught up in the nonsensical arguments that won't bring anybody anything that's of any value. And so we need to be mindful and careful to be aware that God is wanting to do a work in our life that will bring, not the way the world wants it, not with an explanation that they want to hear, but with the truth that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world, and he can forgive us of our sins and give us eternal life where we can have peace. And listen, at its longest, this life is short. I realize that more and more every day. I mean, you hear people leaving the scene and go here and gone. And I don't really pay much attention to them. I have looked at them, but they'll say, you know, I don't know, 20 people, that famous people supposedly that left this life, or maybe even 100 people. You ever watch that and you go, well, I didn't know they died. I didn't know they died. Well, the truth of the matter is that's where we're all headed toward. But with Christ, we have eternal life. And everybody's leaving this life. And the greatest possession, the world doesn't know it because they reject God, is our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So tonight, as we consider this, God's objective, first, is salvation to the lost. That's where it all begins, right? And then it moves to the grace of God in truth. Listen, you cannot have the grace of God in a lie. But God wants the grace of God in truth in you and me. Listen very carefully. God wants the grace of God in truth. Listen, if we're talking about the grace of God and we're not seeking the truth, it's not happening in us. The way that the world will see it, and that is the grace of God in truth in your life and mine. So let me ask you this tonight. Does God want his grace in truth in you tonight? All right, that's important. And so tonight, as we look to this portion of Scripture, we will see from God's Word the process in which God brings his grace in truth in your life and in mine. The first part of the process here is in Christ. Then the second part we'll see is the truth. And then the last part we'll see is the Spirit. If we'll look for it, we will see it. And it will be a liberation, really. It will set us free. And you might say, well, isn't the child of God? Isn't the child of God set free in salvation? Yes, in salvation. So we have that assurance that we have eternal life in the Lord Jesus Christ. But is it possible for the child of God to have eternal life and live in bondage without deliverance? Yes, it is. And so that's not the way that God wants us to live. And again, I want to just remind you of the apostles. They all experienced this. Listen, that's why the bulk of the New Testament is reminding the believer and pointing the believer to the freedom that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the idea is this. We have it, we just may not be aware of it. We possess it because when we got saved, praise the Lord, we got it all. We received eternal life. We received the indwelling of the Spirit. But now God wants us to walk in the Spirit, and that's where it's new. That's where it's uncomfortable. That's where he says, put off the works of the flesh. Put off the old man and put on the new man. And so the new man is the Spirit that's been made alive. And we're also indwelt with the Holy Spirit, but the new man in the new spirit that's been quickened or made alive can now communicate with God's Holy Spirit. That's where that conversation and that's where that relationship takes place. But we cannot, and we can do this, but we will not reach any level of success approaching the Lord in the flesh. We have to be in the Spirit of God. In other words, what is the Spirit of God? All of the things that God has told us. So look, if I look to myself, that's the flesh. And here's the flesh, ready? If I pray, I want to have a good Monday. How about you? Amen? I want to have a good Monday. So here's what the flesh would say. Well, get up early, and it's a good thing, and it's not a bad thing, but if you pray, God will accept you more that Monday, tomorrow, than he did today. And if you read your Bible, you'll be a little closer to the Lord. That is not the truth. The truth is you are in Christ and Christ is in you. You're in his hands and no man can take you out. You're already as close as you're going to get. The problem is you're not walking in the grace of God in truth. You're leaning to the natural realm. You're leaning towards human understanding. We are leaning towards, when I say you, I want you to know, God gave me the message first and made me aware of it, and I have the privilege of sharing it that you and I might walk in the liberty of the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is the concept that if we're not careful, we're a saved child of God and we know it, but we'll approach God in the old man instead of in the new man. And that's not where God wants us to be. So here's the truth. Ready? If you'll just walk in what God has given to you and believe that and ask God to give you the strength to believe that, then you're walking in the Spirit. That's the way that it works. It's not some, we're looking for some special event. It already happened in your salvation. The question is whether you're walking in that truth. Do you see the difference? Just raise your hand if this has ever happened to you. Whatever sum, $50, $20, $100, $5. Have you ever had money in your pocket that you didn't know about? Raise your hand if that's ever happened to you, right? And then all of a sudden you go, wow, that's like a bonus, isn't it? Forgot about it. But while you didn't know about it, was it benefiting you in any way at all whatsoever? It wasn't even in your mind that you had that, so that those dollars were of no value to you. You owned them. The owning of them didn't change one iota, but the value of it served no purpose to you because you weren't aware of it and you weren't using it. The same is true about the Holy Spirit and what God has given to us, that we as believers are not aware of all that we've been given in our salvation to walk in that truth, to believe that truth, and to be solidified in that truth, and to allow the work of God to take place in your life and mine. That's what it's all about. You'll understand here what the Lord is trying to tell the believers is to enjoy and be set free and to walk in the liberty and in the freedom that Christ has given to you and I when we got saved. A babe in Christ doesn't understand all the truths of the Word of God. And so can we expect them to walk in all the liberty and the freedom that God has given to them? No, but as they understand more about what God has given to them, then they could say, oh, I see that. Yes, I understand that. In fact, sometimes spiritual things have happened to them and they didn't quite really understand them. Do you know that you have the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, that guides you into all truth, and that little red flags will pop up and He will direct you even when you're not aware of it? I told you the story before, but case in point, listen, I had somebody tell me that you could lose your salvation. And listen, I wasn't saved maybe 3 or so months, and I was like, what? Now, I did not know, I couldn't point you to one scripture verse of the eternal security of the believer. I didn't know it. But the Spirit of God just said, that just doesn't sound right. Now, I was quiet, and I listened, but I just thought, something's not right. So I went to a fellow who was teaching us the Word of God, and Al said, I'm sorry, he's got that wrong, and let me show you. And he began to show me scripture. And I said, praise the Lord, I knew something was wrong. Praise the Lord. Likewise, also, listen, the Holy Spirit will let you know when you're not in the right place. When you're not in the right place. Because, listen, the Spirit of God will not guide you where there's fear. And I was back in the late 1980s, early 1990s, there was this New Age movement that was really predominant. And I was going to an account. I was somewhere in Tampa, and I had another Christian friend. I think I told you this story before. We were there early because it was such a distance that we were there about 30 minutes early. And right next door to this doctor's office was a New Age bookstore. And so I walked in there, and there was two people. It's kind of shaped like an L, and the bookshelves were over here. And there was two women behind the counters. They never asked us if we needed any help. We were the only people in the store. It was a small store. They never acknowledged us in any way at all whatsoever. And I will tell you, I had the creepiest feeling, right? And then I walked in. I didn't know that the New Age was really connected with Satanism, because they had the Satanic Bible. When I saw that, I thought, well, it's time to go. I didn't feel any crystals and all that kind of nonsense that they had. And so I walked out, and Brian, who was with me, who was a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, said, man, that was the creep. He told me the hair on the back of my neck stood on its end. I said, I know exactly what you mean. I felt this. Well, what was that? That was the Holy Spirit. The lost world would have none of, they would not, God wouldn't be there for them to do that. Now, maybe common sense might tell them some things, but listen, we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit that will guide us into the truth and let us know something is not right. Something is not right. By the way, our conscience will do that for us to a certain degree, but the Holy Spirit will do it more concerning the truth of the Word of God. So I want to look at this here, this process here. We'll begin back here in verse 1. And this process has a lot more to do with than just salvation. And I'm not making light of salvation. Again, salvation is the beginning of the work of God. And again, I want to remind you, salvation was by the grace of God. And so is also God brings us into deeper truth by the Holy Spirit. And He takes the truth and He reveals it to us. And then we have that choice whether or not we're going to walk in that truth, believe that truth. So if God says, I'm going to glorify myself in you, is that the truth? If God says you're a royal priesthood, is that the truth? If God says I'm delivering you from sin, do we have to fail in sin? I'm not saying that we don't sin. I'm just saying, can we experience victory and can we experience the fruit of God in our lives? We should, and we should expect it. And so, Lord, I'm going to walk in that. You said I'm in the vine. And the wonderful truth is a vine or a branch in a tree, in an apple tree, makes no effort to remain attached. You think a branch is sitting there going, okay, I'm going to bear fruit. I'm going to work real hard to bear fruit. No, it just happens. It just happens. Likewise, also, the believer can also experience that as they are reminded of that truth and walk in that truth. And again, it's God bearing the fruit of patience and kindness. Remember what I mentioned last week? You know, how much patience do we have? And then I've made the illustration of little children that are crying and screaming. I can handle one maybe at a time, maybe two at the most. And that's about it. Amen. I mean, that's just honest. And you know, I praise the Lord for godly mothers, you know, that will put up with you know, the loving the children when they're not lovable. There's some parts of raising children that, you know, I don't think guys are all that crazy about. And so, but with the Lord, we can put up with a whole lot more than the flesh can ever put up with. We can go beyond by the grace of God. And we have to believe that or we're not going to experience what God can do. Lord, I can't. That's simple enough. I can't do that, but you can, and you want to do it through me. Is that the truth tonight? Does God want to glorify Himself in your life and mine? When we walk in that truth, we believe that truth. Okay, Lord, Lord, I want to walk in that truth. Help me to believe it that I might see you in my life. If we allow the Lord to reveal Himself in that, we're going to be revived believers. That's what revival is all about. Real revival, and you can look this up online. The Hebride Island, the Isle of Lewis specifically, in the Hebride Islands, is where this revival took place in the early 1900s. You could look it up. There's videos of people that are older in their 80s that grew up as little kids in that revival, and they were testifying of what happened. My goodness, listen, the police station had no business. People weren't committing the crimes. The taverns shut down. Nobody was going to them. And families were being restored. And they said this happened for many years. That these lives were changed. I mean, they were forever changed. They didn't go back to those things. What was happening? God was working in their lives. And I'm afraid today we just don't believe that anymore. That God can change my life and give me victory. And again, not sinless perfection, but that God can allow His fruit to bear fruit in my life to His glory and to give me the testimony and the witness that He wants me to have. And with that, we praise the Lord. All right, so look at verse 1. He says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, notice this, by the will of God. That's so important. You are saved by the will of God. Now, you made the choice, and God knew that, and so you got saved. But if it wasn't the will of God, none of us would be saved, because Jesus would have never come. So it was the will of God. And Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ. Did you see that? These people, do you believe when Paul is addressing them, do you believe they were faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ? Absolutely. Faithfulness has to do with allowing God to do His work in our life. That's what faithfulness, it's not what we can do for God, it's what God wants to do for you and I. So, verse 2, to the faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be to you and peace from your strength, from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice, look at the praise. We give thanks. Do you think Paul said, okay, what's a good thing to say here? Oh, that's right, we're Christians. We give thanks to God. Do you think he said, okay, that's a good, that'll sound good. Or do you think he was feeling, when he was writing, do you think he was caught up in the truth of how he felt about these people and the work that God was doing in their lives? You know what? Listen, it thrills my heart. It glorifies the Lord. It strengthens my faith when I hear other people talking about what God is doing in their lives. I love for people, let me tell you what God did for me. I love to hear that. We need to hear that. Verse 3, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints. For the hope, so here, that's the work of Christ. That's what God is doing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I want you to see the truth of the gospel here in verse 5. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth what? Did you see that? Listen, is it our effort that's bringing forth fruit? Is it our ability that is bringing forth, or our skill, or is it the Lord that is doing this work? Amen. And bringeth forth fruit as it doth also in you. Since the day ye heard of it and knew the grace of God, how? In truth. The grace of God in truth in the believer. The grace of God in truth, in the believer. So does God want His grace in truth in the believer? Listen, let that sink in. That unlocks the door. It's not any special finagling on our part. If you're saved, you have the grace of God in you. And you have the Holy Spirit in you. Now, Lord, I want to walk in that. You've already done it. You don't have to make a special effort to do anything more than just say, that's what I'm walking in today. Now, you might meet with failure. Listen, so follow me, ready? Let's say your issue, my issue is kind. Now, I believe everybody in this room is kind. I really do. I really believe that. I believe everybody in this room has been kind to me specifically and my family. Everybody in this room has been kind. Now, I'm going to ask you this question and don't answer it. Have you ever been unkind? Okay. I would dare say we've all probably, I would find it very difficult to believe, but knowing me, and I don't know you, right, in the sense of the intimate person of who you are, but you know, we know all of us, we're humans. And so we've all probably at some place lost our cool somewhere. All right. Does that negate the truth of God's word? Does that disannul the word of God? So here's what happens. Listen, I get up in the morning and I say, I'm going to walk in the truth. Now, can I meet with failure? Why, sure. But is that the truth? Listen, my failure, does that negate or cause the word of God to be null and void and not true? No. That just simply means I leaned on my strength. Okay, so get up and not, you know, spiritually in your mind, get up and say, okay, let it, that's not supposed to happen, Lord. And I know you've not, tell me this is not true. I know I'm still in God's hand. Question, will I ever be out of God's hand? So if I'm in God's hand, Lord, I'm going to continue from this point on in your spirit, in your truth, that you, I'm going to believe that I am in you and you're in me, I'm in your hands, and you want, does God want to bear his fruit in your life and mine? All right? So I'm either going to walk in that truth or I'm going to walk in what I think I can do for God. Uh-oh. If I walk in what I can do for God, I am going to fail. I might make it for one or two kids, but that third kid comes along, I'm not going to handle it very well. Truthfully, I don't know, after one kid, I might not handle it. Even the one kid might give me trouble. Truthfully. So I'm either going to walk in what I think or what God has said. That's faith. Hear that clearly. I'm either going to walk in what I think and lean on my understanding, or I'm going to lean on God and his truth and none of mine. And so walk in that. And you're going to experience this. Ready? God's going to do something because you're looking to him, not yourself. That's how David slew Goliath. That's how David delivered the sheep out of the lion and the bear. And he said, that was the easiest thing I ever did in my life, and it was the best thing, and I'm going to do it again. And that's why Paul said, everything that I've done on my own in my strength, I'm setting that off to the side. In fact, I'm going to trash it, and I'm going to hold on to what God is doing for me. There's no greater life, and that's why he said, for me to live is Christ. There's no better life. He guarantees success. Listen, there is a crown, Paul said, laid up for you and I, for him and for all those that love the Lord. It's not like it's this impossible thing. It is if we're looking to ourselves. It's not if we're looking to him. And what happens is God delivers us and we go, it works. We see it's God intervening, and then we say, God, do it again. And you know what he'll do? He'll do it again. He'll do it again. And he'll do it again. Whatever it is that is besetting you or causing you difficulty, believe that the Lord will deliver you because he's promised to. But our problem is when we say, I'm going to try harder. Up, oh, you've just taken God out of the picture and you put yourself there. Every time you say, I'm going to try harder, that's exactly who's doing the work and not God. That's the truth. Are we going to walk in it? Hold your place right here and just go back to the Gospel of John just for a moment. Let me show you something here. John 14. Look how the truth works. Look at verse 3. And here's the question. Did Jesus expect the believers to understand this? And the answer is yes, I'm going to tell you. He expected them. The real question is, did they understand it? And the answer is no, they did not understand it. Here's another question. But did that negate or nullify or expunge the truth? And the answer is no. Listen, here's another question. Because the world does not believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior, does that mean he's not the Savior? Do you follow me? Or the Lord's thinking? Just because we don't understand it doesn't mean it's not so. Just because the world doesn't understand it doesn't mean it's not so. Jesus said they walk in deception. They walk in blindness. The God of this world has caused them to be blind. All right. So watch this. He's speaking to the disciples now. Look at we're in John 14. Look at verse 3. Jesus is talking to the disciples. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. All right, so this is good news. And God wanted them to, and expected them to understand that, but they didn't. And he knew that. And whether I go, ye know. You follow? Whether I go, he's telling them, and you know the way. And the way you know. So whether I go, you know, and the way you know. Now, the Lord knew what he was going to get, but he wanted them to understand that he expected them, and they should have known it. The interference is our thinking. Verse 5, Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, you should have known my Father also. On top of that, he's giving them some more information. So when we get to know the Lord, guess who else we're getting to know? The Father and the Spirit. The more we know one, the more we know the others. Okay? If you had known me, you should have known. And by the way, Jesus is the focal point. God intended it. Listen, this is the Father said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. In whom I am well pleased. I am pleased and I am glorified in my Son. The Holy Spirit's job is to point us to Christ. Amen. Both of them pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ. So who should we learn about? Amen. Jesus Christ. So if you had known me, verse 7, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth you know him and have seen him. We're not done yet, are we? Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. We'll be satisfied. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father, and how sayest thou then, show us the Father? God wants to bring that truth to light in your life and mine. We are in Christ, and everything that glorifies, and Christ is in us, everything that glorifies the Lord is not us but him. I'm not saying, and he says, work out your own salvation today. Remember we saw that in Philippians? And then the very next verse, it's God that's doing the work. So what does that really mean? Work out your own salvation. Get involved in understanding the truth of the work that God is doing in your life. You can't just sit on the sidelines and be a spectator and expect the blessings of God. You've got to participate in this walk of faith to believe. And by the way, listen, God is not done with anybody in this room. When he is, we will graduate and we'll be standing in his presence. God's not finished with you and I. Abraham could have thought that. When did Moses start delivering the people of Israel by the grace of God? When did God call him to do that? At what age was he? 80 years old. Praise the Lord. Amen? He's not done with us. At whatever age, if you have breath, be it known unto you and me that God, listen, be it known unto you and me, hear me clearly on this. I need your encouragement. I'm just flesh and blood. It is possible that I can forget that God's still using me because I'm just flesh and blood. You encourage me. I am not invincible. Not. I can be discouraged. I can. As I know anybody can be. We need each other. That's why God put us together in his body right here. We're all important one to another. We ought to rejoice with one another and encourage spiritual growth in one another. And that we might be a healthy body for the Lord Jesus Christ. All right. So here's the truth. Jesus expected them to know where he was and that the believer was with, we're with him. We're with the Lord. And that God wants to bring forth fruit in our lives by understanding the truth. Okay, let's go back to our text in the book of Colossians, and we'll finish up here. Then we have, now, we see that the process of God's grace in truth in us is through Christ, then the truth, right? And they are one and the same. I'm not saying that it isn't, but it's us understanding the truth that God has given to us, because we are... Just because we're saved doesn't mean that we believe the truth, all of the truth. We believe the truth for salvation, but are we believing the truth for God's deliverance and for God to glorify himself in our lives? And that's not always the case. That's where God's wanting to bring us. And we would call that revival, really. When God is actively working and we're watching that. So here's a believer, and they're continually watching, ready? Through the gentleness. They know that that's not their nature, and the kindness and the long suffering, that's not our nature. That's not our nature. And yet that is constantly being displayed in our life by the grace of God. What we are doing is, did Moses see more than one miracle? Did Moses see more than one deliverance of the people of God? Were there not 10 in Egypt? Do you know every one of those were for the building of his faith? Everything that God does in your life and mine is to build our faith, as it did in David's life when he faced Goliath. Well, just like the lion and the bear. God's going to be faithful. And so Moses kept seeing, in so many words, the ocean, the sea being parted for him. It kept being parted. All these plagues. God kept opening up the way for deliverance. And he was delivering them. And it was building his faith. And in your life and mine, as we see God working, we praise the Lord. And we're praising him, and our faith is being built. And you know what that does? We fall more in love with God because he's doing things that we cannot do. And we can be like David and say, oh, who am I, Lord, that you're doing this for me? Now, is it possible for us to veer off path? It is. But aren't you glad for the grace of God that brings us right back if we're wanting, if we're willing? All right. Lastly, the Spirit. And this is the result of God's process here. And I'm just going to read these quickly. I just want you to see of the results of God's process in the faithful servants of God. So look at verse 7. And when I say faithful, basically believing in God's great faithfulness. Verse 7. As ye have also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. That's capital S. You know, listen, it is greater for you and I to love through the Spirit of God than our own love. Isn't that something? Think about, listen, we have a love, but the Spirit of God has a love as well. And God wants us to love through his Spirit. These people, notice what it says, who also declared unto us your love in the Holy Spirit. In other words, the display of the love of the Spirit through your lives to us. Ready? Here it is. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And that's lowercase s. That's our spirit. Understanding what the Holy Spirit is wanting to do in our lives, that ye might walk worthy, verse 10, of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in not some, but in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. That's what happens to the life of the believer. Increasing in the experiential knowledge of the working of God. Listen, you can teach somebody book learning, and I'm not opposed to that, it's important, on how to be a carpenter. And you can tell me all different kinds of things about the medical field. But when I see them, oh, listen, that's a whole different set of knowledge. See, you can make all the sense to me and explain how to do a heart transplant. Okay, let's switch this around a little bit. Let's say you needed a heart transplant. And I tell you, can I do that for you? Why? Don't laugh. Don't laugh. I have read the best books on how to do it. I have. You're still laughing. I have had the best surgeons. Show me. Teach me. I've not ever seen one personally. Oh, on video I have. YouTube. On YouTube I've seen one. All right? I can do it for you. You'd very graciously tell me no. I would do the same. Now here's the thing. If I had 1,000 heart transplant successful surgeries, notice I said successful, then maybe you'd think different. Do you see the difference experience makes? You can tell me all that you got upstairs. Let me know what you can do. Let me know what you've done. You see the difference? Listen, The world is saying the same thing. Tell me all you want to, but let me see what's happening. That's why God wants us to be his witnesses. And by the way, God wants to be his witness, wants us to be his witnesses. And when we see, listen, I can tell you everything that God is saying, but when God allows you to experience, that is something completely different. I can tell you what God is saying, and you can say, listen, God is worthy to be praised because of what I'm hearing. But if he shows you and does them in and through you, you won't even think you will worship. You won't be thinking, well, oh, he's worthy, I should worship him. You will worship. Do you follow the difference of experiencing the grace of God and then knowing about what God is saying? That's a big difference there. All right, so let's move on. Let's look at verse 10 again. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power. Do you see that? That's the only way that you're going to be fruitful in every good work. That's the only way, in his power. Unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. I will just tell you this. I have been patient, but not with all joyfulness. I have been patient. You ever have to bite your tongue? You might call it patience. It wasn't with all joyfulness. All right? But that can happen in our lives by God's power. Verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints of light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated, this has already taken place, us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. We have that. Who is the image, see, this is the truth we need to walk in. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him, including us. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Fathom this thought, and we're done. If by him, that's Jesus Christ, all things have their consistency held together, does that mean you and I as well? So if he's got all this under control, can he not empower our lives? And here's the truth, ready? He already has, if we'll just believe it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, the understanding and the truth that it reveals. Lord, I pray that you would enable us to understand that and to walk in that truth, to receive it, Lord, as you've given it, that you might be glorified and our hearts and lives drawn closer to you and empowered by your power to glorify your name. Bless the invitation, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.